This episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk is sponsored by The Reflection Connection. For all your natural health care products, go to The Reflection Connection. That's connection with a K. All right, NBA fans, enjoy the show.
All right, live from Baltimore, it's the show that's really considering taking back Jared Jackson Jr.'s Defensive Player of the Year award, man. It's the Best of 7 Sports Talk. I'm 7 Mitchell. Salute to the NBA community. We are back. We are in the building, man. Salute to you guys once again. Y'all know the vibes. Got a special guest with me, man. Y'all know it's showtime tonight. Joining me, man, I got Rasheed White. In the
what's
building.
Good, everyone? What's good? What's good, man? Y'all stick around. It might get heated up in here. You know how 7 be. You know how 7 be.
Man, this
you is gotta push another, those buttons sometimes.
Another man. Classic, as always, man. Shout out to Sports to the White, man. My guy Rasheed White, man, as always, man. Big up to Bird as well. Shout out to their platform. Make sure you follow those guys on YouTube, man. Big up again to the NBA community. We have so much to talk about in this episode. This might be one of those ones. Rasheed, how you feeling, brother?
I'm chilling, man. Just a lot of surprises in the NBA in terms of like the playing teams. This is just like blowing everybody's mind in terms of being able to actually reach this far over here, man. I don't think like Houdini himself can actually see anything like this, man. You know, like, I don't know if that's a good metaphoric analogy or not, but I mean, nobody saw the Lakers and the Miami, especially the Miami Heat. I mean, they look bad, even like as garbage as my Brooklyn Nets was, like inconsistent. I mean, we scraped them with ease in the regular season. So I was just like, whoa, it's crazy, man.
Now, wait a minute. What you mean no one saw my Lakers? I saw my Lakers.
No, exactly, you know, like LeBron, it was injuries, the trades, Anthony Davis. You just don't know what you're going to get out of him. You got to push buttons with him. I mean,
here we go.
It's true.
You want to give people a disclaimer. Disclaimer of how the show is going to go. That's because you know you're coming to start some trouble tonight, man. Okay, I feel you. Can you address LeBron as King James tonight? Can I get that much from you?
I don't know yet, man. I give him his props. Listen, I give him his props as probably like the second greatest player. Not above MJ. You know, and it has nothing to do with like accomplishments. It has nothing to do with that, man. It's the skill level that MJ has that LeBron doesn't have. The post-up game,
LeBron doesn't have, Rasheed.
Post-up game, back fundamentals, moving without the basketball, able to like post-game. Nah, he stands, he waits, he doesn't move around the court. That's one of the things that shocked me. I said, wait a minute, I thought MJ was his ball hog. I didn't know this man could play like Reggie Miller, like Richard Hamilton, you know, like moving around without the basketball, the ability to catch and shoot. His post moves, defensively, I mean, just, man. I mean, he has, like, the complete package, man. I don't think the man's even human. Like I said, I did that video. It was about 8-9 months ago where I'm thinking LeBron James is the best player. Because I get into a lot of different reasons on that back then because I just think the players today, I don't think they're more skilled than the players back in the, like, the 80s and 90s, but in terms of like the athleticism and the ability to actually like shoot, you know, I see guys, man, pulling from 30, 32 feet and just, I mean, big men that can actually shoot and put the ball on the floor, big men that can actually slide their feet, you know, like, you know, big men back then, you know, they were like, you know, they were like slow prodding guys, but now you got like Jaren Jackson Jr., Anthony Davis, man. You know, these guys move like guards, man. And they're like 6'11", 7 feet. So I thought MJ didn't have to deal with any of that stuff, man. The big men back then were like one-dimensional. But like the bigs today, you know, they're multifaceted. You know, so but the skill level that MJ has, you just got to sit there and like, you know, watch him. You know, I'm like, man. Especially because like old man Jordan was what really convinced me. You know, I'm like, whoa. I mean, his skill level was insane.
I mean, the disrespect you have for LeBron is so, it's unreal.
Listen, I was on the LeBron train, man. I had to jump off that train.
Nah, I ain't trying to hear that.
I did videos on it, man. I did. You can go look at my catalog. I did videos saying that how
I don't care. LeBron, I'm what you're saying now, and what you're saying now is so out of pocket.
Yo, I keep it a buck, man. I keep it real, man. I don't know what else to. I don't know how else I can actually really do it, man.
Well, let's get right into it, man. Let's get into the first quarter here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk, man. If you guys are new to the platform, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Seven Mitchell, man. Rasheed White in the building. Let's talk about my Lakers. So, LeBron and my Lakers last night. Rasheed knocked off the defending champions. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors advanced to the Western Conference Finals. Now, at the beginning of the series, Rasheed, a lot of people were saying that Steph has surpassed Magic as the all-time best point guard in history. I want to get your reaction to that. Then I want to get your thoughts on the Lakers advancing, knocking off the defending champions.
Yeah, well, let's get to the championship. I mean, how did the Lakers advance? Well, actually, it's real simple, man. Nah, Magic Johnson. If Magic Johnson was actually playing on this team right here, man, probably the Golden State Warriors actually advance, you know. It's a shot at Steph, of course, man. He could pass the ball, but I mean, his greatest thing is shooting the basketball. Yeah, that he has over Magic Johnson. Other than that, nah. And then I'm not surprised that the Golden State Warriors lost because, like, you know, you only have, like, one high percentage one-on-one player. You know, a guy that can, like, let's say the shot clock is at 7, and they say, okay, they try to run their sets, they run everything, and they say, hey, we need a bucket. You know, you normally need at least two guys. You know, Klay Thompson, I mean, he's not that type of guy that's explosive off the dribble, can get to the rim two, like, three, four dribbles. It's not him, you know, and
Mr. Andrew Loudmouth.
I know you. Yeah, talk yeah, about absolutely, Mr. absolutely. Now Jordan Poole, Jordan Poole can actually do that, you know. But if he takes a bad shot or he turns the ball over and he has to look over his shoulder to see if Steve Kerr actually is going to yell at him, and it can actually really kind of hurt his confidence in a sense, though. So. Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not surprised at all. You normally, like, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. These guys are two high percentage one-on-one players, you know, meaning that, like, you actually have to run a double team at those two guys immediately. Not like, good defenders can actually stay with Klay. But, like, with LeBron James, I mean, a lot of times it's a mismatch, you know, so you got to run a second guy at him. Anthony Davis, got to run a second guy at him. You know, so the Warriors have a lot of work to do. You know, I don't know if they move off Jordan Poole or not, or maybe move off of Steve Kerr, you know. And
I know, first of all, let me talk about my Lakers, because I'm not going to allow you to do that tonight. You're definitely not going to sit up here and not give my guys some real props.
No, I'm giving them props. I'm not surprised.
Wait a minute. I need you to isolate these situations, and I really need to get. I need you to give my guys some real credit. First of all, can we start with Anthony Davis? Are we not entertained, Rasheed White, when it comes to Anthony Davis?
I thought he was a really, really great player. You know, I just didn't think that. You know, his mindset, he doesn't have the mindset. Like, you know, a lot of players, they're good. He got his money, you know.
Talking about this series against Golden State.
He did his thing. I would probably put him in the top 10 players, you know. I mean, I would put him on the top 10 players. I'll put him up there. The way he's actually playing right now. Yeah, man. Yeah.
When it comes to Golden State, I know you were talking about possible adjustments. You brought up a name of Klay Thompson, and I call him Mr. Loudmouth because he always has something to say when it comes to LeBron, and LeBron always wound up making him eat his words. Klay was 9 of 42 Over the last three games of the series versus the Lakers, he shot 21% over the last three games. It's his worst three-game stretch in playoff history. There's reports today, Rasheed, that Golden State is asking him to take a pay cut if he's considering to stay with the team.
What, restructure or pay cut?
No, a pay cut. Now, I've been telling people for the longest time that Klay is not that guy. And all that Splash Brother conversation has been gone. And people have been trying to give him the benefit of the doubt for about three years.
He's not a superstar. He's a good role player. I mean, what gets him into the NBA, what got him into the NBA is his ability to actually catch and shoot. You know, but if you can't do that now, it's the same thing I said with Joe Harris. Listen, they gave this man 4 years, $75 million to shoot and make freaking shots. If you can't do that, you know, and Steph Curry is giving you shots when you're wide open, then I don't know, man. You know, I would say he would definitely have to be the one to actually take the pay cut, I guess.
He's going to take it. He's too scared not to take it. Klay cannot take his own team to the promised land. He needs Steph. That's his identity.
He's not a superstar player. He's not like a Pascal Siakam, 3-4 dribbles at the rim, puts pressure on your defense, and can get like these role players like wide open. You know, I don't see that from him. Even before the injuries, never really saw that from him. But he's a really, really, really good role player.
I mean,
a really, really Klay, good role player.
Klay doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He has a good basketball IQ. Before the injuries, he was one of the best two-way players in the game. I'll give him that. And, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Of course, he's not going to be the same player after the injuries. But his inconsistency has been so much of a liability that it's just like, bro, you got to give it up. You are always going to be Robin. And if you go to another team or try to carry this thing on your own, you're really going to get exposed.
I don't see that in him. I don't.
Where could Klay Thompson go lead a team to the playoffs as the leader?
I just don't see him, man, because he doesn't have the athleticism, like, the crafty, sick handles. Like, Steph Curry has handles, and he can break his defender down, even though he's not explosive. But, like, you don't get that from Klay or anything like that, man. It's just his thing is catching and shooting. That's his strength. I mean, everybody in the NBA has a strength. I mean, they're there for a particular reason for the most part, all those 400-something players. Am I not the ones that's the role players have a special skill set, you know, that got them into the NBA, you know? So Klay is, you know, catch and shoot, you know, that's his thing.
You are the general manager, Rasheed, of the Golden State Warriors, and I'm throwing five names at you, and one of them have to go. Which one are you parting ways with? Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins.
That's hard, man. Draymond Green, there's a lot of players who don't understand basketball. I mean, he's very valuable. Like I said, he's a role player that actually knows his role, and he doesn't try to do things like let's say a Brook Lopez, right? He's going to try to take somebody off the dribble. Not really his strength or anything like that, you know? He'll wind up turning the ball over. So, I mean, Draymond Green is really valuable, and, I mean, he knows his role, and like, he doesn't try to do too much for the most part. Andrew Wiggins actually gives him athleticism. I don't know. Maybe Jordan Poole, you know? I would say Jordan Poole, I would get rid of him, you know, because, like, if you have a great defensive team like the L.A. Lakers – you know, that one-on-one high isolation thing is just not going to cut it, man. You got to move the basketball east-west. I mean, the basketball moves faster than what players actually move.
You say know? Jordan Poole. How much of Draymond Green presence do you put on Jordan Poole's performance or lack of?
I think it was more Steve Kerr, you know. I don't know about Draymond Green, you know, because Jordan Poole would take some crazy shots sometimes, and Steve Kerr would yank him, and that's going to really kind of mess with your confidence, man. You know, if the coach is like kind of just taking you out of the game. I mean, Steph Curry takes a lot of bad shots, and Steve Kerr doesn't say anything. He's not yelling or screaming or taking him out of the game on a couple of bad possessions. But when Jordan Poole actually does it, you know, they take him out of the coach gets him out of the game, you know? So, yeah, that's going to like throw your confidence off somewhat, man, you know? And you don't have you got to play instinctive basketball. And Steve Kerr actually does that and makes him kind of overthink now, you know, where you got to be playing with instincts.
I look at Draymond Green's numbers. You know, he definitely plays his position, like you said, and he definitely has impact when you look at what's happening on the court for the most part when he can play ball and not get thrown out. But, you know, the whole situation with Jordan Poole, and you go back to the situation with Kevin Durant, I don't think Draymond is good for the young talent in Golden State. So for me, unfortunately, it would have to be Draymond Green. You know, I know Jordan Poole came up short. Jordan Poole was inconsistent. Andrew Wiggins stepped up, played big, but, you know, he might go somewhere else. But Draymond, even though he belongs in Golden State, it's just like, okay, everybody was saying he's the true leader. He's the heart of the locker room. I don't think Steph Clay and Andre Iguodala, like, they don't need that at this point. Those guys have been proven. They've been through the fire. So at this point, the only impact that he could have would be on the younger players. And I don't see him having a positive
impact. He talks on defense. A lot of players don't communicate on defense. Screen left, screen right. You know, so he communicates on defense.
I'm saying in the locker room, though. I'm talking about, like, you know, he punched Jordan Poole, and then you see they had some friction at the end.
You see Jordan Poole, man, he talks a lot of shit. Yeah, even way before Draymond punched him in the face.
That's true.
I said on my own show, I said, yo, somebody needs to punch Jordan Poole in his face. I mean, this dude is too arrogant, man. You know what I'm saying? I played against guys like that, man. I want to really punch this dude in the, I want to break his jaw, man. He talks so much shit. He does. You see, he's too arrogant.
Real quick, let me know what's your thoughts on the Western Conference Finals. Let's get a quick preview on the Lakers versus the Nuggets. This is a rematch from the bubble Western Conference Finals. Denver, number one seed. We got Joker versus AD pretty much. How you think this Western Conference Finals is going to play out, Rasheed?
Oh, I'm gonna take Denver in five. I know you're gonna get mad, but it's just too many horses. The Denver Nuggets have, like, guys like Aaron Gordon. I played against guys like that, man. I mean,
what has Aaron Gordon ever won? What has he ever done?
If he gets like a D'Angelo Russell gets switched on to him, and Austin Reeves gets switched on to him, I mean, you have to send immediate help, man. He can over. I mean, I remember when he was with the Orlando Magic, man. He used to destroy us.
You have Denver in five? Are you kidding me? And you talking about all these horses that the Denver Nuggets have, Rasheed? I mean, what has these guys won in comparison to the Lakers, who beat these same horses in 2020?
Yes, I mean, Jamal Murray's healthy. You got Bruce Brown. I think Jokic is actually much more experienced back then. I mean, you know, from back then, he has like, was that three years now of experience. Better squad, man. You just look at, that's why I just knew that the Denver Nuggets was going to annihilate the Phoenix Suns, man. Whether CP3 actually came back or not, they just don't have the players. Just even like Aaron Gordon, man. I mean, he's tough, man. And he's just a role player, you know? And he could drop 20, 25 points, man.
You're
just
saying like Aaron Gordon is tough because what he did against your guys in Orlando. But what is Aaron Gordon
against
ever
Phoenix
done?
Too. Against Phoenix too. I mean, yeah, he's tough, man. He's powerful. He could put the ball on the floor. He could shoot the three. I mean, defensively. I mean, you got Jeff Green, you have, I mean, Jamal Murray, was it Michael Porter Jr.? I mean, this has got a lot of, you know.
So I guess the Lakers didn't get better. They just stood still this whole time, right? I mean, you're talking about.
Well, that Denver Nuggets team is actually better than that Golden State Warriors team. You know what I'm saying? What? So they listen, we gotta be real over here, man. Listen, I get it. We can't be fans about this, man. I want to see the Lakers actually advance to the damn finals too. You know, but we actually got to be straight real about this over here, man. None of that fanboy nonsense.
Who being fake about it? Because my team is in the Western Conference Finals. Where's your team at? Where's your team?
Yeah, we home. We got swept, man. We got swept to oblivion, man.
I'm as real.
What I'm saying is, listen, we're professional analysts over here, man. All right.
What did I say wrong? Did I not say my guys was going to take it to the promised land? Where we at right now? What are you talking about?
All right, so what's your predictions on the Lakers and the Lakers and Denver, man?
I got LA in six.
What?
You're all talking right, so about what's your Denver logic? In five is blasphemous, bro.
What's your logic?
What's yours?
I gave you mine. I want to hear yours.
I've read this book before. So have you. I understand you can sit up here and make all these excuses that it was the bubble and Jokic was younger and give me all these excuses, blah, blah, blah.
You got to match up them. I mean, the playoffs is all about matchups. I mean,
for every person.
Like in a seven-game series, who's going to match up with Jokic?
If you let me answer the question, I'll do it exactly the way I need to do it. Now, all right. Again, for every person that you want to name that's gotten better on Denver, I can give you the same for LA. Proven and has taken their team to the playoffs before, not in LA. These guys in Denver has not proven anything. To me, regular season top seed doesn't mean anything. Am I surprised that they knocked Phoenix off the way they did? Yes.
Why are you surprised about that?
I promise you, it wouldn't have went down like that if CP3 didn't have his groin injury.
Bro. Too small, man. He's 6 foot. I'm taller than him, man. So he's too small. They have to upgrade that point guard position. They do. They have to get bigger at the point. And you need like somebody that's like 6'4", 6'5", that can actually play
Phoenix got a lot to do. They fired Monty Williams today. We're going to talk about Phoenix.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that, man. Oh, wow. I went to the movies today. I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, they just fired him about an hour ago. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But for you to sit up here so disrespectfully, and I should have known, you to say the Denver Nuggets in five, you're only giving the Lakers. You see how much defensive impact AD has had in the playoffs? You forgot who we beat in the first round? We knocked off the two seed. We knocked off the two seed with ease, then knocked off the defending champions. And now you
got to remember, Memphis was missing Brandon Clark, and he was missing Steven Adams, man. Oh my, and Ja Morant was hurt, you know. So
Ja didn't play.
I mean, he played, but I mean, you have a hand injury on your shooting hand. I mean, that's going to really
affect you. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's. You got an excuse for everything.
It's not an excuse, man. It's not an excuse.
We're in the Western Conference Finals. This is why we shining right now. Five, four. What, bro?
I stuck up for LeBron when Golden State Warriors beat him. When Kyrie and K-Love went down, I told people back then, if Kyrie was there and K-Love was there, that they would have won that whole series. I mean, he damn near went up 3-0 with Dellavedova as his next best player. You know what I'm saying? So you had a healthy Kyrie. Well, not healthy, but you don't understand what I'm saying. A functional Kyrie. A functional K-Love without serious injuries. I mean, yeah, look what happened the next year. They wound up beating them anyway.
LeBron doesn't lose conference finals. You know that, and I know that. So I'm cool. Denver can have home court advantage. I'm good. When the Lakers take game one, like they've been doing in every round, we have a different conversation. That's what's going to really make you guys realize that.
Too many thoroughbreds, man. Too many thoroughbreds on that team.
Thoroughbreds? What thoroughbreds? Michael Porter Jr.
What's his name? Aaron Gordon, Jokic, Kristaps.
Come on, man. KCP is our leftovers, man. What are you talking about?
You're playing well, man. You look at the plus minus. I think it was a plus 18. I forgot which plus minus is worth.
What big man?
He had a serious impact. Big
man, bro, what real big man has Joker ever had to face, especially in this playoff run? who he had to face.
I agree with you there. But if it was like Giannis or something like that, like somebody that can actually, but like Anthony Davis, like in turn, like he doesn't really like he's not like Giannis where he's gonna, you know, get to the rim, like explosive off the dribble. He's not like that, you know. So that's an easy cover for Jokic right there, man. You know?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
It is. Because he's like.
I don't know, man.
I just don't see it. I'm trying to paint a picture over here. You know, like I said, he'd be a professional analyst over here, man. You know, so I could like the Lakers, man, but I just like I like the Brooklyn Nets and my team. And I would be crazy to say, yo, they're gonna beat the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm like, hell to the nigga. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't happening. That was not happening. So we gotta be professional analysts over here, man. So take your fanboy hat off and put your analyst cap on. And what do you actually really, really think, man? Give me some logical reasons why you believe that the Lakers can beat the Denver Nuggets in six.
This guy must be on drugs, man. I swear. But she might has to be drug tested tonight. I swear. Oh. No, ask me to give you some reasons. This is the season that we watch LeBron James surpass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. These guys started off 2-10 this year. They pretty much reconstructed their roster at the trade deadline. Had to go through the play-in tournament. Knocked off the 2 seed, knocked off the defending champions. They split the season series, regular season series with Denver, and those teams played before January. So the Denver Nuggets haven't even gotten to see this new Lakers team. Bro, I'm not concerned at all. I got the Lakers in six, definitely.
Who's going to stop Jokic, man? You can't
who's
double him.
Who's going to stop LeBron and AD?
I hear you. I'm not saying they're going to blow out the...
Let me ask you a question. Let's go back to the bubble when there was no added help and all that. It was all about on the court. We had AD and Joker. Who gave it to who just a few years ago?
You had Dwight Howard over there. You had JaVale McGee, and you had Anthony Davis. It wasn't just Anthony Davis. You had those three big men that were physical with him.
I respect that.
It wasn't just AD.
I respect
that. AD had 3 months of rest, too. You know what I'm saying? Him and LeBron.
Everybody had it. Stop.
Yeah, they had a bunch of rest, no travel or anything like that, no home crowd. Anthony Davis is actually playing for something. He was playing for a contract. You know, that money means something to him. It means something to a lot of players. We see this. We see this with a lot of players over the years. I can give you about 100 examples of guys like playing well, contract year, they get the money, and like, what the hell happened to them, man?
This is the best of seven sports talk, man. Seven, yeah. Mitchell, Rasheed White. We're in the building, man. Let's get into quarter number two. Let's flip things over to the Eastern Conference side of things, man. The Miami Heat have somehow, some way made it into the Eastern Conference Finals, man. Playoff Jimmy. Jimmy Butler has just been insane. Rasheed, what are we doing with Jimmy Butler, number one? Let me start off with that one.
I don't even know what to say, man. I'm just flabbergasted, man. I don't know what to even say. Eric Spoelstra, let's credit Eric Spoelstra. I mean, he's been coaching his ass off, man. I mean, just really making adjustments, in-game adjustments. The shooters on the floor has been making the right plays. Making shots. They've been making good plays. It's just, you know, you close out on the shooters. They put the ball on the floor, like hard closeouts. They put the ball on the floor. They move the basketball, play good defense. I don't know, man. I'm just, I'm just shocked. I don't even know what to even say because, like, nobody actually saw this coming over here, man. Nobody saw this coming.
It amazes me. You had nothing to say about Jimmy Butler. You want to talk about her exposure?
Doing this thing. No, I'm just saying, I'm giving Eric Spoelstra a lot of credit because not for Jimmy Butler, but for those other guys. I mean, Bam has actually been doing his thing. He had 26 in that closeout game.
Jimmy.
Oh, Bam. It's not just one man. All right, it's a team sport.
It's a team sport, but Jimmy is the reason. Let's not act like we're not watching the game with our own two eyes. Jimmy's the reason. Bro, they lost the first game in the play-in tournament. You're going to tell me Bam out of a deal? They ain't even got Tyler Hero. So if it's not Jimmy, who has it been then? Bam and Kyle Lowry?
No, I mean, they've been doing it. No, they've been making shots and playing good defense, man. I'm just shocked, man. I mean, even Kyle Lowry, man, he looked like a shell of himself, man. He's actually been doing pretty well, and I don't know what to even say, man.
So you're not moving. You're not putting Jimmy Butler up on no pedestal. You're not.
He's been doing very, very good, man. I mean, we've seen this. It's time to give this man his props, and you know, because like I said, he's one of those guys that actually puts the work in. In the offseason, I actually say this on my show. I mean, I did a video about it, man. I was like, what's up with these? What's up with your guys' offseason development, man? You know, like, who was I using an example as? Some of the, like, the players. I cover a lot of Brooklyn Nets stuff. So I'm like, you get knocked out of the first round of the playoffs, take a month vacation, and then – you know, from June, July, August, you need to be in the gym working on your game, getting better, man, whatever your weaknesses are, and watching film. So Jimmy Butler actually has been doing that. I mean, you saw him. I remember when he first got into the league, he was just a guy who could play defense, and he just each year started getting better and better and better.
Is he a top five small forward right now?
Absolutely, man.
Top three? Absolutely.
I mean, think of some other threes, man.
LeBron.
I would say he's not better than LeBron, you know? Not better than KD. LeBron.
Kawhi?
You know, not better than Kawhi, but I would say, I think I would probably take him up with KD right now, man, you know?
Really?
And he's one of my favorite players in the NBA. You know, but wow, KD showed me something in this Phoenix series over here, man. You know?
Are you blaming that on KD?
No, I'm blaming that on the owner, and I'm blaming that on the coach, Monty Williams.
Getting back to Jimmy Butler, tomorrow we got game 7 between the Celtics and the 76ers. There's so many storylines and narratives when it comes to Doc Rivers and Philly in game 7s. Hypothetically, if Philly loses tomorrow, when you look back at them letting Jimmy Butler go, how much of a mistake do you think that would be on Philly, and who should be paying for that?
That's a huge mistake. It's not just that's just a regular mistake. A huge mistake. A big, 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 big mistake.
Who pays for it?
Whoever the I don't know if the owner didn't want to pay him, or if it comes down to the general manager. You know, somebody got to pay for it. You know, I don't know the inner workings of the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, but if it's the general manager who has autonomy over the team and the owner's actually staying out of it, you know, like he's running the team basically, the president of basketball operations, but I mean, ultimately falls on the general manager right there, man, the GM. I think it was,
I'm gonna be honest, because I can remember when this thing happened. And I had said that it was the immaturity of Joel Embiid that made Jimmy Butler refuse to want to stay. It was Joel Embiid was the problem. And, of course, Daryl Morey wasn't going to pull that trigger because Embiid was their guy. Jimmy Butler was just coming off of the friction with the team in Minnesota. When I said that it was that immaturity of Joel, that was the reason Jimmy really left, because Jimmy don't play them childish games.
Nah, if man. Philly, like I said, he's a.
If Philly loses, if Philly loses tomorrow, regardless of Joel winning the MVP, I would totally blame Joel Embiid for all of this, and I would have to get rid of Daryl Morey as the general manager. Joel is too good to get rid of him, but somebody would have to pay for this, and Daryl Morey allowed this to happen on his watch, I believe, a couple years. I think Daryl Morey was the GM.
It could have been Elton Brand, I think. Was it? We got.
Was
look
it Elton?
Up.
Yeah, I maybe. Okay, so maybe he get a pass, but I'm really looking at Embiid being a culprit when you look at this thing in the big picture, because if they would have kept Jimmy Butler, they may have been in the finals one of these years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man.
And if Doc Rivers lose another game seven tomorrow, what are we saying about the 76ers if they lose to Boston tomorrow?
I mean, you got to look at it. There's a lot of different factors in there. Like which team was supposed to win, which team is actually better. It depends on how you lose. If you get blown out like the Phoenix Suns, you know, 25-point victory, then I'm going to look at the coaching. That's the first thing. But if you lose by a couple of points and, you know, a stupid possession, let's say, like what Jalen Brunson did, you know, not passing that ball out to who was the shooter out there? Oh, yeah, Josh Hart. Not passing it out to him, you know? That's something we don't got to blow the whole team up. It's just something that Jalen Brunson got to look at film and then just become better at, you know? It was just a mistake.
So you'll give these guys some leeway. Cool.
Depending on like the margin of victory, man. If you fight it to the end and it just comes down to like a shot attempt, that wouldn't fire Doc Rivers. But if you lose by like 10, 15 points, then yeah, you gotta see what type of adjustments he actually makes. You know, in-game adjustments, you know, like for the Boston Celtics. I don't know why they don't actually, a lot of teams don't run this, but Robert Williams is the center. He can actually come up and set the high screen for Jason Tatum. That would get Joel Embiid switched on to him. And he's dealing with that knee right now, that knee injury, you know, that knee sprain. So it would force Joel Embiid to actually guard Tatum. And maybe they have to run a second person at him. So, I mean, it's a lot of different things, but we'll see. I will definitely be watching that game over there. And if, like I said, they get blown out, then, yeah, Doc Rivers probably has to go. But if it's like a couple of points here and there, maybe add a piece here and there, see what the weaknesses are on the team.
I'm wondering what would happen if Boston loses, because now you're really talking about what are we doing with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Both of those guys, by being all NBA this season, they're both eligible for Supermax contracts, which would equal up to about $613 million. I don't think Boston will wind up paying that much to keep both of those guys on, especially within the sample size they haven't won the chip. So it's just, if they lose, I think that thing is getting broke up, no doubt. I think you're right about Philly.
In the beginning of the show, I said you need two high percentage one-on-one players if you're actually going to make any kind of noise. It can't just be one guy, you know. Right. I'm surprised Jimmy Butler's actually doing it with like one guy, like just him being that guy, like that superstar player, and not another really
Jimmy.
Yeah. So, but normally you need like two like max guys really to go far, you know, in the playoffs. So if you get rid of one, I don't know who's going to really replicate. I would definitely keep Tatum over Jalen Brown. But I don't know who would replicate the production that Jalen Brown can give you or vice versa. Who on that team can actually do that?
He's not the just real about, leader.
Yeah, he's who's that? Oh, Jalen Brown, right? Tatum.
No. Jalen Brown, to me, is the real leader. Jason is the best player. But look how short Jason comes up when the Celtics need it the most. That's why they're in this predicament now of a game seven versus Philly. Same reason why they came up short versus Golden State. Jason Tatum has come up short in the playoffs when they needed it the most. And on both ends of the court, Jalen has shown the leadership. But yeah, I don't think they
I like Tatum's skill set better than Jaylen Brown, though.
He's more consistent to me.
Mm-hmm.
Overall. Let's talk about your Brooklyn Nets, man. Third quarter of the show. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Rasheed White, Sports to the Wire. Let's talk about your Brooklyn Nets, man. Where do you guys go from here?
God, man, I did a whole bunch of shows on this over here, man. Definitely need a big man that can actually rebound and play some defense. You know, I was saying, talking about like the weight. Somebody that's about 7 foot, 250 pounds. I went over a whole bunch of guys. Nah. I don't know, man.
I guess can't be chooses.
His locker room presence, man. I don't know. Yeah, we need somebody that can play some damn defense too, man. That can move their feet, that can slide their feet, that can move laterally. Because they do so many of these screens, man, where these big men. Like it's like slow plotting big men get switched on to like Damian Lillard and Tatum's and Browns and Halliburton's and Morant's. And then we need Ben Simmons actually healthy. I mean, those are the two key factors right there. A big man that can actually shoot the floor, like shoot, like give you 32-33% from the 3-point line. 7 feet, 250 something pounds with some girth on them. And can provide some rim protection there. And then we need Ben Simmons actually healthy. You know, he's the only player right now on the team that can command what we were talking about in the beginning of the show with the Golden State Warriors, an instant double team. I did a whole bunch of videos on this where Ben Simmons get the ball. They run two guys at him. Got to get the ball out of his hands, you know, and guys are like wide open. I mean, wide open. Not like, you know, like, you know, like, you know, we're going to cheat on him. You know, we're going, you know, we can stay, you know, like far, like close to the shooter or something like that. Like Mikal Bridges doesn't command like that instant double team. Cam Johnson doesn't command that instant double team, you know, like a hard double, get the ball out of his hands, you know, because he's a matchup nightmare. But Ben Simmons actually does that, you know, and he can get these guys. Like, I don't know if you keep Joe Harris, and I did a video on Steph Curry and Watanabe and Patty Mills, but he can get those guys like really wide open, uncontested 3-point shots.
Your team in no way, in no shape, in no form, and in no fashion has a chance to really do anything. I hope you know that, because I know that, and I think the American public knows that. If you guys were to do anything, the whole makeup of the Brooklyn Nets would have to be different. Do you have a superstar or a star in mind that you think could come to Brooklyn and really change things? And if so, who currently in Brooklyn would have to stay in order to make it work?
Well, you definitely need Cameron Johnson. You need the 3-and-D guys, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. I think you would need Ben Simmons to actually stay again, because he's just a matchup nightmare. I mean, you got, let's say, Tyrese Halliburton guarding him, and Ben Simmons is 6'11", 240 pounds, powerful, man, strong. I mean, you have to run a second man at him. You have to. It's just that you're a coach. Think of put yourself in a coach's position. You actually have to run a second man at Ben Simmons, and that's going to give guys – wide open shots, man. You know,
if I give you Damian Lillard and don't Pascal want him. Siakam, you don't want Dame.
I know. I'll take Pascal Siakam. I don't want Dame. You know, not with $60 million on that contract at 38 years old. Hell to the no.
Wow.
Nope. He's not. Listen, Damian Lillard is not going to get us past Boston. He's not getting us past Philadelphia. And if Milwaukee brings their team back, you know,
what is Ben Simmons going to do? I mean, really?
No, I just told you, man. He can get guys wide open shots, man. Wide open 3-point shots. You know, wide open 3-point shots. If not, he's going to score. You know, he can pretty much break down smaller defenders or post up smaller defenders and just score at the rim at will. I mean, you can go watch the highlight videos. I mean, he had back-to-back 35-point games. the 42-point game he actually had against the Utah Jazz. And that was with Rudy, Ben Simmons.
What about the 2 0-point games he had this season?
He had 13 assists.
But what about the 2 0-point
performance? He had a knee injury. Not 100%. He's coming back from an injury. He hasn't played basketball in a long time. Coming back from an injury.
You're bugged out.
Coming back from injury. Hasn't played basketball in a long time. And they were double teaming him. They were. That's what I told you. I did. I broke down because everybody was trying to clown Ben on that game. I'm like, listen, here's what it is. Double teams. Ben Simmons gets the ball, tries to do something. They run a second person at him. What are you supposed to force up a bad shot? He passes the ball to the wide open shooters. You know? So, and you said 2 0-point games out of the 40-something point games, 40 games he actually played. I know it hasn't been a large sample size. You know,
all I know is I've never heard the third best player of a team having scoreless games like that.
And listen, man, I've seen players with 4 point superstar players with 6 points, 8 point games. James Harden had an 8 point game.
You can't name me an NBA star that's had 2 0-point performances in the same quarter, in the same season. I just don't know no stars, not one.
I feel you on that. And like I said, I got on Ben Simmons too, man. Off season work. You should be putting in that jump shot. You know, 1 month vacation, 1 month vacation, and the rest of the
vacation all year. Come on,
Rashad. No, I'm just saying, like, all right. So, let's say Ben was playing in the playoffs right now, right? They got bumped off about 3 weeks ago. Go take your vacation and then bring your ass right back into that gym. You know, for 8, 9, 10 hours a day, working on your skill, your weaknesses. Jump shooting and free throw shooting, man. You know what happens if Ben gets a jump shot, man? Whew, man. You know?
Last topic of tonight's show, man. I want to talk about Chris Paul. You know, there's reports that it's more than likely he's going to be parting ways with Phoenix. The Lakers are like leading candidates for Chris Paul. You think CP3 is a good fit in LA with LeBron and AD?
Nope.
Really?
I think D'Angelo Russell is a better fit, you know, because he can play like a real, like a Klay Thompson type, like an excellent catch and shoot, 3-point shooter, you know. I don't think the ego, I don't know. Because, I mean, you're going to have LeBron James play off the ball, you know? I mean, you rather have the ball in LeBron's hands or CP3's hands. And, you know, that's a no-brainer right there, you know? So
both of the basketball IQs are high.
No, I agree.
And those guys have been in the league so long, I don't think it's going to matter. I would like to see that those two play together, Chris Paul and LeBron, because of the basketball IQ. But you can't, you know, Anthony Davis, is he going to give up his jersey for CP3?
I don't know. Man.
Like, if the Lakers win, like, LeBron is talking about Anthony Davis' jersey going up in the rafters already. CP3 can't come to LA and demand the number 3 jersey, so we can't call him CP3 no more. Like, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. That's true too, man. For the betterment of the team, I don't know. I mean, what's Chris Paul's 3-point shooting percentage, man? How much he shoots? What's his percentage from the 3? We gotta go look that up real quick. I mean,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it all depends, man. If he shoots like 32-33% from 3. I don't know, you know, but if CP3 can shoot 38-39% from 3 and LeBron has the ball, he gets double. Because LeBron's going to command double teams more than CP3 is going to command double teams. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to be required.
We've had mistake makers for the last 2 years. And Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley running out floor. Outside of LeBron, he's, you know, high usage rate. He makes turnovers as well.
Mm-hmm.
CP3 is smart. Like, LeBron could in year 21 could definitely use one of the best floor facilitators in NBA history in Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, because he could work on that. Like he could post up smaller players. I mean, it depends on how they actually run the offense. You know, they can get some switches where LeBron, a smaller player, gets switched onto LeBron, and CP3 actually gives him the ball. It could work though. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. It's just that Chris Paul gets hurt, man. I mean, these guys in there 30 something years, man. You know, and the West is no joke, man. I mean, you know, teams are going to retool. I mean, Phoenix is going to come back with something. They can probably get Brook Lopez. You know, Brook Lopez is a free agent, I think. And they get him, you know, and it's somebody that can actually space the floor out better than DeAndre Ayton, you know. You could have a lot of problems right there, you know. So it all depends on what a lot of these teams in the West do, you know. Does Kawhi Leonard come back? Does Denver Nuggets is going to be who they are? And again, even if you have the Denver Nuggets go, if you had Chris Paul against the Nuggets, man. I mean, you got, like I said, you got thoroughbreds, man. You got thoroughbreds and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray. You know, these guys are.
I don't know what you're talking about. I watched my guys beat Denver. I'm not tripping, man. I'm not tripping. I can't wait for Tuesday. Lakers winning game one. I'm telling you. Rasheed, I appreciate you, man.
Stretching it out too far, man. Let's get it on right now, man. Forget all that rest nonsense, man. Like,
you balanced over here. I don't know what Rasheed talking about, bro. I appreciate you, man. Let everybody know where they can follow you at, man, before I sign off.
Yeah. Sports2TO The Wire. You know, I'm on there. I try to post out like 5-6 videos a week. You know, depending on my energy levels, man, you know.
You enjoying the playoffs so far?
Yeah, man. It's been a ride, man. The Knicks were scaring me for a minute. I said, man, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, shit, they're going, like, other players are going to be thinking, yo, fine. They made it to the Eastern Conference Final. They can have a star player actually say, no, if I can come to this team and add a lot of value. And our Brooklyn Nets are, like, really done damn near, man. But they got bumped, so.
If LeBron James win the title this year, is he the GOAT now?
No.
Now, no.
Nope.
Still not the GOAT.
No, he just not rings, man. Because Bill Russell got 11. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the GOAT.
Rings, and how he's not already the GOAT then?
Not a better player. I'm going by player, you know?
Player than who?
MJ, he could play every position. You know what I'm saying? Like his post moves are better than Hakeem Olajuwon's. Go look. They say Olajuwon was.
What can Michael do that LeBron can't do, bro?
Post up, move without the play without the basketball, play off ball.
Did you just not see what LeBron did to Golden State in Game 6? When you talk about backing Wiggins up, what?
Now I'm talking about how he moves without the basketball. I mean, his post moves.
Michael was a shooting guard. He's 6'6". He's supposed to.
LeBron's 6'9". You still can move without the basketball. You still can actually move around.
He's a locomotive, bro.
MJ has point guard skills, two guard skills, three guard skills, four like power forward skills and center skills.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron has played and defended off five positions. When has Michael Jordan done that?
Yo, MJ, I just don't understand how you get that good, man. I've been playing basketball. I don't understand how you actually get that good. It just amazes me with MJ. Like, how you get five skill sets in one player, man? Like, you can get, like, a freaking center. You can get Richard Hamilton. You know, you get a point guard all in one player, man. He's even good playing just like a power forward, just going in and crashing the boards. And I said, he can play like a damn. I just thought he was a ball hog. He could pass his ass off, man. I mean,
year 20, you see what LeBron is doing in year 20, man. That's just case closed, man.
All right. All right,
man. We are out of here, man. This is the Best of 7 Sports Talk. I'm 7 Mitchell, man. If you guys, again, are new to this platform, Subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Check out the podcast. It's available on all listening platforms. I'll catch you guys later on this week. Enjoy game one of the Western Conference Finals coming up on Tuesday. Again, big thanks to Rasheed White. Shout out to him as always. Make sure y'all follow him on social media. And we are out. Peace, guys.
All right, peace. All right, man, I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.